Good morning. Hey, good to see you here today. And welcome to Adventureland Sunday. Kind of puts you in the mood for Christmas there, doesn't it? Actually, the whole thing is all about transformation. Transformation, change. Well, you want to get your outline out of your program so that you can follow along with today's message. And let me tell you a story about a man named Ken. Some of you might have thought I was going to say a man named Jed, but this guy's name is Ken. As a young African-American man, Ken hated white people. He was brought up to believe that the only good white person was a dead one. Ken loved sports, but he especially loved football. You know why? Because in football, he could hurt white people legally. That's why he liked it so much. He became a football star. Ken Hutcherson, first on the Dallas Cowboys, and then on the Seattle Seahawks. But today, Ken no longer hates white people. In fact, he'll tell you that he loves them. And he proves it every day. Ken Hutcherson is now the pastor of a multiracial church in Seattle called Antioch Bible Church. What accounts for Ken's dramatic change, his about-face in his attitude on all kinds of things, including white people? How could a man raised with such hatred completely change to the point where now he's ministering with and to white people? He's shepherding them and actually doing it for a living. Well, Ken will gladly tell you that the transforming power of Jesus Christ is what is responsible for the great change in his life. You see, when Jesus comes into your life, he changes you from the inside out for the better. You really do become a new person in Christ. Doesn't matter how bad you may have been. Doesn't matter what you were. Doesn't matter what you were into. Whatever your background, whatever your orientation, whatever your color, whatever your creed, doesn't matter. Jesus Christ loves you, and he welcomes you to come to him for forgiveness and for eternal life. And he offers it free of charge. But it doesn't end there. You see, folks, it only really begins there when you turn your life over to Christ. See, he comes into your life and he begins to change you from the inside out. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens gradually. It happens day by day. But the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, a change definitely is underway, a major change. Maybe you know something about yourself that needs to change. Maybe there's something that you're not doing that you know you should be doing. Or maybe you're doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing. Maybe there's a habit in your life. Maybe there's an addiction. Maybe there's a real problem that's causing destruction for you and for the people around you. Or maybe it's just your whole lifestyle is headed south and is going wrong. Well, can you really change? We hear a lot about change these days, don't we? Politicians talk about change, but the change Jesus makes is not only real, but it's permanent. And there's no going back. Today, our message is entitled, Real Change. And of course, today is Adventureland Sunday, a day the kids from our children's ministry come to the adult service, and they help us out with their gifts and their talents to minister to us. It also gives us a chance to show you what's going on in the children's ministry here at the church, maybe to highlight some of the needs, and bring up an awareness in your life that, hey, maybe there's something I could do to help out in our children's ministry. I want to give just thanks to those that are involved in our kids' ministry. Chuck Binkowski, he was here a minute ago. I think he just walked out to do something out there in the hallway with the kids' ministry. But he and his adult team of leaders do a great job every week here, week in and week out at both of our services to minister to those kids. And I really want to say thanks a lot for all the hard work and dedication that those people put into it. Today, you're going to witness some participation from four young men in our Adventureland ministry. The message today is in keeping with the theme of the whole weekend, the Adventureland weekend, the theme of change, the theme of transformation, of metamorphosis. We saw that earlier in the little skit. Can people really change? Can you really change? Well, the answer is yes, you really can. And we're going to learn today from the most famous conversion to Christ in history. That is Saul of Tarsus, better known to most people as the Apostle Paul. Paul and Saul are actually the same person, just a difference between a Hebrew name and a Greek name. Well, as we'll see, Saul at one time hated Christians, and he hated everything that Christianity stood for, and he did everything in his power to destroy it until Christ changed him. And he did a 180 in his life. Well, the boys are going to come up here to help with the message today by acting out three scenes, or acts as we might call them, each of which is printed on your outline and each of which has a life lesson for us about change. And so let me introduce the boys to you. First, we have Nick Chase. Come on up, Nick. Then we have Paul Hanvey. Come on, Paul. Caleb Potts. Come on up, Caleb. And then, last but not least, Johnny Ream, my son. Hey, you know something, Johnny? I think we need that one prop. It's back there. You know where it is, buddy. We're going to witness change today in three different acts. And the first act is act number one. This is printed on your outline. Paul the persecutor. And, aha, he's got it. And the life lesson, the life lesson with this particular act is I need to change. I being a generic I standing for all of us. I need to change. You know, our biggest barrier to real change in our lives is denial. Denial. I'm not talking about a river in Egypt. This is denial, where something is going on in your life, everybody else around you can see it, it's a problem, it's recognizable, but you deny it. We've all heard about it with alcoholism in particular, but denial can happen to any person regarding anything, any problem in your life. And Saul of Tarsus was a guy who was in denial. But he was the last person to know that he needed to change. I'd like you to meet Saul of Tarsus. Come on, Saul. All right. And we've got the persecuted Christian, played by Paul Hanvey. All right. Now have fun, guys. Remember to have fun. All right. We're going to look at Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. It says in that scripture passage, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged the men and women off and put them in prison. You know, Scripture tells us, go easy there, buddy. Scripture tells us that Saul actually tried to get Christians to curse Christ. Saul even had some Christians executed. Saul obviously needed to change. But ironically, all during this time, he thought that he was doing God's will. He was convinced of it. He had deceived himself. After Saul's conversion, he looked back on this time and he wrote about it. And this is what he says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church and did my best to destroy it. Help me out. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors." You see, he just didn't get it. He didn't know that what he was doing so passionately was actually opposing God. This shows us how deceived we can be when we're caught up in doing something. We just cannot see our own faults and the need for change. The Bible tells us that the problem is really within us. Do you know the biggest liar in your life is not the person that you're thinking of, maybe somebody at work or somebody that you used to know or whatever? The biggest liar in your life is your own heart. That's right. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Look at this. "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?" You know, today often we're told, follow your heart. Follow your heart and you'll do what's right. That is not biblical advice. Scripture tells us that our heart is corrupted by sin. And because of that, it's a liar. It constantly deceives us. And that's at the heart of denial. What about you? What is it about you that needs to change? Maybe a habit, an addiction, an attitude. Maybe there's a relationship in your life that needs to change. Maybe God is out of your life and you need to put Him in. Maybe you need to get into the Word. Maybe you need to commit to ministry. Maybe you need to commit to church. Maybe you need to get baptized. Is it possible that you're deceiving yourself about this and saying, well, I don't really need to change that, like an alcoholic who's in denial? Are you willing, here's my question to you, are you willing to take the risk to ask God, what about you needs to change? And to wait for the answer, whether it's what you want to hear or not. Are you willing to talk to somebody who knows you well, whom you trust, and say, is there anything about me that needs to change? And then to listen to that person without punishing that person when you hear what you might not like to hear. Let me encourage you to do that. Well, that's Act 1. I need to change. Act 2 is Saul's transformation. And the life lesson for us here is Christ can change me. The old saying says, a leopard can't change his what? His spots. Maybe there are things about you that you'd like to change, but you say, you know, a leopard can't change his spots. I am what I am. Maybe you're convinced you can't change what you are. You're thinking, well, hey, look, a leopard can't change his spots. I can't change my DNA. I can't change my personality. I can't change the basics of what I am. Guess what? That's true. You can't. But on the other hand, God can. We are not talking here about self-reformation. We're not talking here about turning over a new leaf. We are talking about the power of God to change your life. Anyone can change if he or she is willing to be changed, transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And Saul of Tarsus is proof. Let's get back to Saul. Scripture says in Acts chapter 9, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's people. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, in chains to Jerusalem. As he was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone around him, and he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice saying to him,
Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied,
I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.
The men with Saul stood speechless, for they had heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companion led him by the hand to Damascus. There he was blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Saul, the infamous persecutor of the church, was forever changed, transformed that very moment, never to be the same again by the power of Jesus Christ. Who could have predicted this? I mean, just think of it. If you were living back then and you were a Christian, what would the likelihood be in your mind that this man, Saul of Tarsus, would ever become a Christian? But he did. He converted to Jesus Christ in a flash. But Saul didn't change himself. Saul was changed by the power of Christ. Look what he says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, writing many years after this event. He says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Help me out. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. I love this verse because here Paul identifies himself as the worst of sinners. He thinks, who could be worse? What could be worse than actually trying to destroy the church of Jesus Christ? But he also tells us that his conversion was not meant to be a one-of-a-kind event, that nobody else could be changed like he was, because in this passage, he makes it clear that he's supposed to be an example to other people, people like you and me, to assure us that we can change too. Just like if he could change, anybody could change. That's the point of what he's saying here. It's for you too. Does your life need to change? Does a certain part of you need to change? You know, whatever stage you're at, whether you think of yourself like Paul did, the worst of sinners, or maybe you're a very holy person. You've been living for the Lord for a long time. All of life, the Christian life, is about change. If you could change something today, what would it be? The only barrier to changing something in your life that needs to change is your decision to do so. Let's look at Act number 3 in our little play, Saul's new life. And in this, the life lesson is, I need to accept the change that God wants to perform in me. You know, I became a Christ follower as a teenager. And my life instantly changed for the better from that very night when I first came to Christ. And I was so impressed with the way my life changed and the way the lives of my friends had changed when they came to Christ, that I constantly would say to people when I was witnessing to them, Christ changed my life. Christ can change your life. That was my mantra. That was the thing that I said to people all the time. Christ can change your life. And I used to always use that when I was witnessing and sharing my faith with people. But then one day, I met an unsaved guy who really just said something that I was just totally blown away with. I said to him, Christ can change your life. And his response was, I don't want my life changed. I like it the way I am. I just couldn't believe that when I heard it. I guess now, when I've heard many, many other people say that same kind of thing throughout the years, I shouldn't have been so surprised. But to me, it was inconceivable, knowing how I had changed, knowing what Christ meant to me, that there would be somebody else who would not want his or her life changed by Jesus Christ. Well, you see, it all comes down to whether we're willing to change or not. And it doesn't matter what it is that needs to change about you, whether it's something big or relatively minor. Maybe it's the kind of language that you use. You know that it doesn't honor God. Maybe it's your temper. Maybe you've got some sort of a habit that you're trying to break and you think, I can't break that. Or maybe it's much bigger than that. Maybe it's all about just turning your life over to Jesus Christ. It all comes with making that choice, taking the necessary steps after you've made that choice to follow that decision through. Well, let's get back to Saul and see how he did this. We're told in Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 17, so Ananias went, here's Ananias, and he found Saul, and he laid his hands on him, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and he was baptized. All right. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate your participation. Are there scales on your eyes today? Are you like Saul was? Sure that you're right. You may even be a very religious person, but you're still in darkness because you've never come to that point in your life where you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If so, you need to know that Jesus purchased your change on the cross. He suffered the penalty that you and I deserve to suffer for our sins. He took it so that we wouldn't have to. And then he was raised from the dead, proving that he really was who he claimed to be. And now he offers that change to each one of us, free of charge, simply by coming to him and receiving him as personal Lord and Savior, and then trusting him to make the changes in our lives that we need to make. That's the question that we have before us today. Are you willing to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you've never done that, you need to. You need to be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And it's as simple as making that decision and receiving him. Today, if you do that, your life will change. It will never be the same again. Well, maybe you are a Christian, but you're lacking power to live the Christian life, to live victoriously. Like Saul, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, like this passage talks about. But Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? Right now? If not, would you like to be? Is there a step of obedience that you need to take, like baptism or getting involved in a ministry or committing to the church, just like Saul needed to take that step of obedience? Remember, the Christian life is all about change, transformation. I thank God that he's still changing me. I've been a Christian now since 1973, and every day, every month, every year, God is working changes in me. I can look back to a few years ago and I see that I've changed because God's power is working in me to bring about new things, good things. Can you say that in your life too? What is it that needs to change? Our main idea kind of wraps the whole thing up. It goes like this. Have Jesus will change. If you forget everything else that I say, you want to remember, have Jesus will change. Well, let's now hear again from, from the first time, from Saul, better known as Paul. What do you have to say about what we've been talking about here?
That's
how Paul would say it himself. Well, we're going to close up our service here in just a moment or so. I'm going to ask the musicians to come and take their places. and the ushers to help us out with the offering today. And while they're doing that, let's take a moment just to reflect on what we've been talking about here today. Is there something in your life that needs to change? You know, you could go on and just with the rest of this day and blow off what you've heard. Or you could make an application of that. Maybe you need somebody to pray with. We've got Ron and Mary. Why don't you stand up? These guys are going to be down here right after the service. If you need somebody to talk with, why don't you come and talk with them or pray with them? Or maybe you don't even have time to stick around after the service and you just want them to pray about something in your life. Just mention it to them and they can do that. Or maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I've never had that original change of receiving Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord. Today, you can make that step. Why not come down here and find out more about what that entails, what that's all about? Would love to talk with you and pray with you and lead you to know Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that you're in the business of changing lives, of changing hearts and minds, of bringing healing to marriages and families and situations that seem hopeless. Lord, I pray for that person who's here today who thinks, I'm the worst of sinners. I've really screwed up my life, and I need to change. I pray that that person right now would say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want my life transformed, but I can't do it. Only you can do it. I trust in Jesus, who died for me on the cross and arose from the dead. Come into my life. Change me. Make me a new person in Christ. I pray for that Christian who's here today who's been struggling with something and knows that he or she needs to surrender it and to be changed. Maybe there's some counseling. Maybe there's some hard work ahead. But Lord, that person is at that point where he or she says, I'm willing. I'm willing to go under the knife, as it were. Lord, open me up and do surgery today. And I'll do whatever it takes to cooperate with that change. Father, heal relationships and marriages and families today. May we take this message to heart. Thank you for all you've blessed us with. Bless this offering. And use every penny to bring glory and praise to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.